Good morning, brothers and sisters. Excuse me. This morning, we're going to take a look at Christ-like behavior in the workplace. Now, I've been thinking about where I should start. There are many things to consider, like the way we treat others, how well we perform our task, how we dress for work, our conversation at work, and so on. But for me, everything kept going back to the same place. And before I tell you where that place is, I want to share a story with you. A few months ago, I started working with this man, and I started talking to him about God and the Scriptures, and he seemed very interested, so we continued talking. I found out later in the conversation that he went to the Catholic Church, and I let him know what I thought about the Catholic religion and told him the things that the Scriptures tell about it. And to my surprise, he actually agreed with most everything I was saying. But he really didn't think that it mattered where you went to church or what you believed, but how you lived your life. He admitted he had never really studied the Scriptures. And then he asked me a very interesting question. He asked me, "Why do you think, Richard, that I feel like I'm friends with God, like buddy-buddy with Him, on the same level?" He expressed to me that he felt that if he disobeyed a commandment, such as when Abraham was told to sacrifice his only son, that he could simply reason with God and tell him he just couldn't do it, and that'd be okay. Well, I thought about it for a while, and he said he had asked several priests this question, but he never really got a satisfactory answer. And I thought, and I thought, and I came up with an answer for him, but I wasn't sure that he was going to really like the answer. But I had to tell him anyway. I told him that he didn't even know God. The only way to know God was to read and to study His Word and to follow it, His Word, to the best of his ability. We are to search the Scriptures as if we were looking for fine gold. This, brothers and sisters, is where we have to start if we want to have a Christ-like behavior in the workplace. We have to study and make Yahweh an everyday part of our lives. If He is not in our lives at home, He will certainly not follow us in our lives to work. What we put in at home is what we will get out at work. In Acts 17:11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." We see that searching the Scriptures on a daily basis is very important, and it is an absolute must if we are to follow Christ when we are in a worldly setting such as work. In Romans 15, verse 4, we read, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." We are to be patient in our studies. We can't learn it all at once. We slowly grow in God's Word. We should be comforted by the Word, and through it all, we get our hope, a true hope that no man can take away. Do you think we should keep this hope to ourselves? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord." This is the way we should be with one another, and while at work, the world should see the light of Christ pouring out of us. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, we read, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's pretty clear, brothers and sisters, that we are to preach God's word to all who hath ears to hear. So the question is, how do we know who at work hath ears to hear? And I've heard some say, well, you have to get to know them first, you know, become friends with them, do things with them, earn their trust, and then you start preaching the word to them. James 4:4 says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Very strong words, brothers and sisters. So do we want to become friends with them? And then, if they reject the word, not be friends with them anymore? We know that's not going to happen. Most likely, we will slowly, over time, become more and more like them until we fall away from the truth. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Brothers and sisters, it is a very dangerous road to travel when we hang out with co-workers and not have the attitude of Christ. What was his attitude? He said, I must be about my Father's business. And what was he found doing when he said this? Preaching his Father's word. So to have Christ-like behavior at work, we must, like Christ, be about our Father's business. And what is our Father's business? God manifestation. Manifesting God through us. When our co-workers see us, they are to see God through us, through what we do. They are to hear God through us, through what we say. And if they hate us for it, it is because they hate God. So what are we told to do about that? In Matthew 5:44 it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And Luke 6:27 says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that which hate you. And in Luke 6:35 it says, but love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. We, brothers and sisters, are to do good to those that hate us and use us. And there is no way in this world this could be possible without knowing God through a diligent study of his word, without keeping God close to us. His word he has esteemed above his name. The more time we spend with Yahweh through his word, the easier we will react to those who hate us in a Christ-like manner, with love instead of hate and revenge. Let the word of Yahweh dwell in you richly. Whenever I'm asked to give a talk like this, I tell you I truly feel closer to God, and I'm probably way easier for people to get along with. And why? because I read and read and read His Word, searching for verses. And His words truly make a difference on everything that I say, do, and think. It's truly amazing. And I think, why don't I do this all the time instead of wasting my time sometimes? And I think the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It is truly a fight, a war in our members. Now I want to talk to you about our conversation at work. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." The word there could be translated behavior, which would include our conversation. But we must be very careful which conversations we involve ourselves in while at work. Some are inappropriate for the family of Christ. The scriptures tell us we will have conversations about things that are really meaningless in the big picture of the things. What does it say in Matthew 12:36? "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word. People today have conversations about some of the most evil acts imaginable. And I will not go into detail here, but I have definitely heard them when I worked at machine shops. We must not get mixed up in their idle words. We must also be careful when we talk about someone to our co-workers, not to be talking bad about someone. These are scary words, Matthew writes. Every idle word men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And James has some more for us. James 1:26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Brother Glennon went through some of this last night. And these two verses alone should make us think before we speak. Sometimes we should think of Christ and how He answered in Mark 14, verse 61. "But He held His peace and answered nothing." In Mark 15:3, "And the chief priest accused Him of many things, but He answered nothing." In Mark 15:5, "But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled." Sometimes it's better for us just to say nothing and go on our own about our business, which is our Father's business, we must not forget. Manifesting Yahweh in our lives is our goal. Next on our list is how we perform our task at work. We should always do our best. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." We must remember everything we do should be done to God's glory. It is not our bosses that we are trying to please. It is God. He is the one that should get the glory for a job His servants have performed. If we just halfway do something, do we think that anyone will listen to us when we preach the word of God to them? Or will they think that we can't even take care of our business at work? How could we ever take care of something as important as our spiritual work? We must not do our work grudgingly either, but thankfully and heartily. Let us remember Yahweh has provided it for us to do, a way to take care of our family. Next, we look at dress. How should we dress at work? Or anywhere in public, for that matter? For this question, I have a very simple answer for you. Of course, we will look at the scriptures, but when I think about it, my simple answer is, if you feel comfortable standing before Christ at the judgment seat wearing it, then you can wear it. Of course, suitable to the situation. If you're running, you may wear shorts. If you're at meeting, you wouldn't wear shorts. So, dress to the occasion. So what do the scriptures say? 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." And in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." I believe these verses are teaching all the same thing. Men and women, brothers and sisters, don't dress to be seen of men. Show your humbleness through what you wear. Would Christ, or say his mother Mary, be okay wearing what you are wearing? That is what we should ask ourselves before we leave our house each and every day. One more thing on this, apparel. Look that word up in the concordance. It might actually change the way you dress. Now, I'll let you look that up on your own. Now, I started this talk just not too long ago, and I asked some brethren to just write in their own opinion. I figured there might be a few different opinions, so I got a few different opinions here, two or three of them, from what they thought about, you know, conduct in the workplace, of, you know, Christ-like conduct in the workplace. And I got three of them. I'm going to start with the youngest one. Brother Ben wrote one for me. They're just about a page each. Having recently started working full time, I have been learning just how important it is to be consistent in what I say and how I act. Of course, this is something we should always do as followers of Christ. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1:8. But it seems even more important when we are at work. From the day we are hired until the day we leave, we must let our light shine and resist temptation that may try to lead us astray. When doing our work, we should never murmur or complain. When asked about our beliefs, we shouldn't let the opportunity slip to reach the truth. And when our co-workers want to be our friends outside of our workplace duties, we must remain separate and remember that the truth comes before friendship. Yes, they are all difficult things to do, but we must do them consistently, or else we lose all credibility when we say we are truly Berean Christadelphians. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:20. Next, one that's been in the workplace, probably in the middle road here, Brother John. We spend 40 hours a week minimum at our job, 3 hours a week with ecclesias. The world rubs off on us, whether we want it to or not. Spending that much time in it, it's hard to remain Christ-like when we have that many hours in the world. Even in school, it's the same. That's why we have to do our readings to keep God in our thoughts and in our actions. And then one that's been working for a while longer, Brother Bob Holly. There is a story of two Jewish patriots, Papus and his brother Julian, who were determined not to drink pagan wine. so that they would not be perceived to sanction idolatry. Rufus, the Roman governor, ordered water to be served to them in a glass that was colored, so that it would look to the crowd as though they were actually drinking wine. Seeing immediately the deception, they refused the water and faced death by a terrible martyrdom rather than taste that water. We should ask ourselves if we are as brave and noble as Papus and Julian. In a much less physical threatening way, believers are faced with this choice every day when we go to work or school. You may be encouraged by a co-worker or friend to participate in something that appears to be innocent enough on the surface, but deep down inside you know that it is wrong. Often, this presents itself as something that we think is absolutely harmless. Neither Papus nor Julian would allow even the impression of being identified sinful with sinful conduct, even if it was the appearance, when their actual conscience was right. Ask yourself what God would have you to have you do when faced with a situation like the one that faced Papus and Julian, or maybe even something as innocent as going to a movie or an after-work party, or responding to a tweet or Facebook post that you know will not bring honor to our Creator. Remember what Joseph said in Genesis 39 when he was enticed by his master's wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Our Lord and Savior told us in Matthew chapter 12, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Don't be motivated by this warning in a fearful way. Try to be motivated by a desire to bring honor and glory to His name. Speaking from experience, it will get easier as you get older. So, basically, we have three different age groups saying pretty much the same thing. We've got to stay close to God's Word. We've got to stay separate from the world. And we have to preach the Word. I want to close through reading some commandments of Christ. Number one, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. Number two, resist not evil. If a man smite thee on one cheek, turn to him the other also. Number three, avenge not yourself. Rather, give place unto wrath, and suffer yourselves to be defrauded. Four, if a man take away thy goods, ask them not again. Five, agree with your adversary quickly, submitting even to wrong for the sake of peace. And that's a hard one for me. Agree with your adversary quickly, submitting even to wrong for the sake of peace. Labor not to be rich. Be ready to every good work. Give to those who ask. Relieve the afflicted. Do not your alms before men. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Recompense to no man evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Bless them that curse you. Let no cursing come out of your mouth. Render not evil for evil. Oh, I read that one. It says it twice here. Overcome evil with good. Pray for them that despitefully use you and afflict you. Grudge not, complain not, condemn not. Put away anger, wrath, bitterness, and all evil speaking. Confess your faults one to another. Be not conformed to this world. Love not this world. Deny all ungodliness and worldly lust. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Servants, be faithful even to bad masters. We would apply that today to our bosses. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. owe no man anything. In case of sin, known or heard of, speak not of it to others, but tell the offending brother of the matter between thee and he alone, with a view to recovery. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Pray always. Pray with brevity and simplicity. Pray secretly. In everything give thanks to God and recognize Him in all your ways. As you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Take Christ for an example and follow His steps. Let Christ dwell in your heart by faith. Esteem Christ more highly than all earthly things, yea, than your own life. Confess Christ freely before men. Beware lest the cares of life or the allurements of pleasure weaken his hold on your heart. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Exercise lordship over no one. Seek not your own welfare only, but bear your own burdens merely. Nor bear your own burdens merely, but have regard to those of others. Let your light shine before men. Hold forth the word of life. Do good to all men as ye have opportunity. Be blameless and harmless as the sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Be gentle, meek, kind-hearted, compassionate, merciful, forgiving. Be sober, grave, sincere, temperate. Speak the truth, every man with his neighbor. Put away all lying. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Be watchful, vigilant, brave, joyful, courteous, and manly. Be clothed with humility. Be patient towards all. Follow peace with all joy. Sympathize in the joys and sorrows of others. Follow after whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseful. Refrain utterly from adultery, fornication, uncleanness, drunkenness, covetousness, wrath, strife, sedition, hatred, emulations, boasting, vainglory, envy, jesting, and foolish talking. Whatever you do, consider the effect of your action on the honor of God's name among men. Do all to the glory of God. Reckon yourselves dead to all manner of sin. Henceforth, live not to yourselves, but to Him who died for you and rose again. Be zealous of good works, always abounding in the work of the Lord, wearying not in well-doing. Speak evil of no man, that the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Obey rulers, submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Be holy in all manner of conversation. Give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Thank you.